Yeah, yeah. I don't know who this is for, but as we were finishing up worship, I just saw, you know, you like have a roof over your head here at church or at your house, and I just saw like the hand of the Lord over you, just over you as a church, over you individually. And so it's just a picture I saw of like God's just hand over you. And, you know, his hand represents favor. His hand represents provision. His hand represents protection. And so that's just the picture I saw for you guys as a church, but even for individuals. So, you know, take it, write it down if it's for you, and just keep reminding yourself that God's with you and for you. Just, you know, we just sang that song, but just saw that like really clear a hand over your life. So I want to look at Psalm 103. We're going to actually talk about communion today, which is kind of an odd thing for guest speaking, but it's been just speaking life to me, taking communion. And Psalm 103 says this: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within us. Let all that is within me praise the Lord." Jesus, we just thank you for this time together. We thank you for the sunshine today. We thank you for the very breath and life that you've given us. And this morning, Father, we just ask for spiritual eyes to see. We ask for ears to hear, Father. We ask for hearts that will just receive and understand all that you have for us. We thank you that you're real, you're alive, you're moving, and you have something specific for each and every one of us today. In your name, amen. Amen. So I got invited to Mel's birthday party on Friday, and the first thing I thought in my head was, what are we going to eat? You ever think that when you go to a party, like, what is the food going to be about? You know, so the Super Bowl party a couple weeks ago, like, I just want to know what kind of food is going to be there. I think that food is very important, and everything we do is around food. I am not a foodie, so there's the people that, you know, it's all about, like, the presentation and spending $20 for this little thing that's like, where's my food? I am not that person. I cannot cook. Okay, so I got a crock pot for my wedding, and I literally opened it and said, what is this? I don't think we've used it since. People tell me you just put, like, ingredients in, and magically a meal comes out of it, and I just don't see how that happens. So I am just not a cook, but I do like food, and everything you do is, like, around food, like parties, food, getting together, food, introducing, like, a new, maybe, person in your life. You bring them to the family. What are you doing? You're eating over food. So much happens around food. So when you diet, it really stinks, because not only are you dieting and, like, cutting back and things, but, like, all of a sudden it's like you feel like you're missing out on life because everything is around food. And if you're dieting, it's like, I can't go out to eat now, or I can't do this or whatever. But there's so much that happens around food. And so you have, like, your comfort food, right? Like, what is it, mashed potatoes, gravy, like, I don't know, you got your comfort food. And men, you're gonna all give me an amen on this one. Hangriness is a real thing. So I don't know about the ladies in your life, but, like, girls, I get hangry sometimes. And I mean, I can be fine many a time just going for a while without food, but then there's those certain times where, like, somehow it's Jimmy's fault, it's my husband's fault when I'm hungry and just hangry, because I go from, like, I'm totally fine to all of a sudden, like, I need to eat, and I need to eat right now. So now it's Jimmy's fault. I'm like, you need to get me food now. You know what I mean? Like, hanger is real. And then you eat, and you're like, oh, life is better. Okay. I'm like, I'm A-okay. And then you have, like, your stress eating, whether it's a bag of chips, ice cream, cookies, chocolate, whatever it is. And it's like, okay, kind of helps me out in life. And then, of course, when you're sick and you can't eat, you know, it's a sign that you're feeling better when you start eating again. But so much happens around food. And here in this scripture, Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." I love that word, all. All that is within me, all his benefits, all your iniquities, all your diseases. He's not talking about some of them, part of them, a little bit of them. He's talking about all of it. It's complete. All of it. There's no halfway done job here. And, you know, when Jesus walked on earth, there was something that he did all the time. He didn't calm storms all the time. He didn't multiply food all the time. He didn't walk on water all the time, but there was something that he did all the time. And if you were to look in Acts chapter 10 It tells us what he did all the time. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth and with the Holy Spirit and with power. And then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus healed all the time. And I think that tells us something, church, that God wants us healed and whole. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, like God wants us healed and whole. And so Psalm 103 says, forget not his benefits. What are his benefits towards us? He forgives and he heals. And that's what he has. That's what he has for us. That's what he has for us. Now, it's interesting here in America, when we were packing, like it was maybe a 6-hour drive. So I know we're going to like stop halfway to stretch and maybe get something to eat. So I pack a protein bar because I know we're going to get like fast food. So I'm having my nice little protein bar. Jimmy's eating Whoppers. Like we kind of live to a different standard in life, which is great, right? But like our country is so caught up in like the health craze. Me and Mel went walking yesterday morning because I'm a psycho. And it's like I got to do something. So we're walking and like we spend more money on our like protein, our supplements, our the diets, getting trainers, going to the gym, all this stuff. We spend more money on that than you will ever spend on a college tuition. And then we're caught up in like the macros and the micros and counting all this craziness. But according to the Bible, there's a health that comes to us by eating. Now that sounds really awesome because what is one of those diets where you can eat all the bacon you want supposedly and like you're going to lose weight? And I'm just like, how is that even possible? Like not talking about a diet this morning, but just talking about communion. And there's a health that comes to us by eating it. Jesus says this in John chapter 6. This is from the New Living Translation, but it says this. It sounds kind of weird here. My flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. This is Jesus speaking. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. And you're reading this like, what, God? What are you talking about? But he goes on to say, I live because of the living Father who sent me. And this is so powerful. In the same way, anyone who feeds on me. All right, we're not talking literally, but anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. I'm the true bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestors did, but will live forever. Anyone who feeds on me, anyone who looks to me, anyone who receives from me. See, sin and death came through an act of eating. Adam and Eve, they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So you can call it an apple, you can call it what you will. They ate from that tree. And what happened when they did that? The curse entered the world. They ate their way to a curse. They ate their way to pain and sickness and disease and fear and pain and death. They ate their way to this. The curse entered because they ate from that tree. Their eyes at that time were open. Now, not to the things of the Spirit, but their eyes were open to their nakedness. Their eyes were open to their failures. Their eyes were open to their shortcoming, their lack. Their eyes were open to their inadequacy, their sin and shame because of how they ate. Their eyes were open to something. Now, sight is a big deal, and we see it all throughout the Bible, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later. But their eyes were open to their failure, their shortcoming. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they ate their way to death. But Jesus said, if you feed on me, you'll live. Health and wholeness come through another act of eating. Jesus restored everything through an act of eating. So after Jesus had died and rose, and there's a story in Luke where two disciples, I believe it was a husband and wife, but two disciples are walking. It's the road to Emmaus. They're out walking. And Jesus joins them, and they're having this conversation with Jesus. They don't realize at the time that it's him, but they want him to stay with them longer. The Bible says that their hearts literally burned within them when he was talking with them. And so they get to a point where it's like, okay, we got to get off here and go home. Jesus is going to keep going. They're like, would you come home with us? Would you stay the night? Would you hang out with us for a little bit longer? And so the Bible says that Jesus did. He came over with them. He stopped from where he was going and went with them. And it says this in Luke chapter 24, after they had invited him over, it says, now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open. Their eyes were open and they knew him, and then he vanished from their sight. What was he doing right there with them? Breaking bread, taking communion. Their eyes were open. Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of bread. Jesus was made known to them. They took communion with Jesus, and their eyes were open to a greater understanding, to see him and to know him. Sight is a big deal, and life and revelation come from Jesus. Your eyes have an assignment. Your eyes have an assignment. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus. The more we look to Jesus, the more we see Jesus, the more faith we have. Where so often we walk around saying, I need more faith for this, I need more faith for that, as if you can like stir it up, as if you can make it, as if you can somehow give yourself more faith. But it's by looking to Jesus. My faith grows not by anything I do aside from lifting my eyes up to see Jesus. The more we see Jesus, the more our faith grows. And so as Jesus broke bread with them, their eyes were open to a greater revelation. And going back to John chapter 6, before he went into my flesh is true food, he said this in verse 51, I am the living bread. So we know that Jesus is the bread of life. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Now, I have always read this and thought he was talking about eternal life. Like I just naturally, okay, I'm giving my life for the life of the world. He's talking about eternal life. But that word life right there, which I shall give for the life of the world, that word life right there is the same word used in Genesis when God breathed life into Adam and Eve. Like literally Jesus is saying, I'm giving my life, I'm giving you physical life, I'm giving you wholeness, I'm giving you vitality, I'm giving you health. I'm literally giving my life, is what Jesus is saying, for your health and wholeness. Forget not all his benefits. It's what he came to do. So the bread of life, I'm the true bread of life, the bread of life, Jesus. When we partake from him, or when we receive from him, when we look to him, the Bible says resurrection life flows through our body. Resurrection life and revelation and understanding, because that's who he is and that's what he died for, to give to us and to provide for us. And so sin and death came through an act of eating, but Jesus restored everything through another act of eating, the Lord's Supper. You know, so often we take communion, it's like, I do it because I'm supposed to do it, without understanding like the wholeness of what it means and what he did. And so in Exodus, going to the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 12, God gave Moses some instructions for the Passover. Now the Passover is a picture of what Jesus was going to accomplish on the cross. Okay, so it's all a picture of what Jesus was going to accomplish on the cross. And so God gave in Exodus chapter 12 very specific directions to Moses for that first Passover and for remembering it in the years to come. So, you know, first he said, this is just going to be the beginning of your calendar year. This is how your year is going to start. And then you need to have a lamb without spot or blemish. And then you need to put blood on your doorpost. And you need to roast the entire lamb. And then you need to eat it, like really weird, but you need to have your belt on, you need to have sandals on, you need to have a staff in your hand in order to eat it. These are the instructions that they were given. And then he wanted to say, and after this first time, it's going to be done every year in remembrance. It's an act of remembrance, not to forget what I've done here, to keep it in mind. You're going to do it every year. And so that night, that Passover night, we know this story where all the firstborn, humans and cattle, all the firstborn were killed if there wasn't blood on that doorpost. I remember we used to read the... anybody got a picture Bible at home? Or, you know, like I grew up reading the picture Bible with my dad and my siblings on Saturday nights. It was pretty awesome because we had the picture Bible and ice cream. You can't go wrong. And we read the picture Bible. But I remember reading this story, and my dad, like, it actually kind of struck fear in me, because my dad's like, this, like, death came over the whole area, and the firstborn died, so that would be your brother Scott. And it was like, Scott would have died. At that point, I'm like, you can take him, Lord, it's okay. But, you know, it's like he's trying to make it real to us. It was like, what, you know? But without the blood of the doorpost, firstborn died. And like, you can't even imagine the kind of mourning and wailing that went on at that time in that area. But it was at that time when Pharaoh now was like, get out, go, worship your God, do what you got to do, I'm done. Then all these plagues had come. Now he's like, leave, go worship your God. And there was something supernatural that happened at this point. Like literally the supernatural happened, because in Psalms, Psalm 105 verse 37, it says, he, God, also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among his tribes. Like something happened the night of the Passover. I think we lose sight of it sometimes. Like the Israelites ate this Passover meal that they had to prepare, and suddenly, supernatural, they have favor with the Egyptians, the people that they have been slaves to. Now listen, the Bible says that they literally plundered the Egyptians. They're giving away their silver and gold clothing. Take it. You've been our slave, but here, take my stuff and go worship your God. Like the supernatural happened after they ate the Passover meal. Suddenly, they eat of this meal, and there is not one feeble or weak among them. Like, how does that happen? They've been slaves. There's been this harsh labor. There's been backbreaking work. It has not been easy for them. They've been whipped. They've been beaten. And there's not one weak or sick among them. Like, in the natural, think about it, church. In the natural, this is impossible. There were 3 million people who left Egypt. Men, women, children, there were 3 million who left Egypt, and my Bible tells me there was none feeble. You know what none means? None. Young, old, not one feeble. Something supernatural happened that night that reversed the effects of all of that work, that reversed the effects of age, that reversed the effect of fatigue. They ate the Passover, and there was none feeble. How much more so when we receive from the true Lamb of God? How much more so when we receive from the true Lamb of God? Because Jesus is the substance and reality of what the Israelites believed in. Passover was a picture. Jesus is the substance and reality of what the Israelites believed in. How much more when we receive from the true Lamb of God, the bread of life. See, Passover was a picture, and if we were to break it down, application for our lives, you know, the Lord speaks in symbols and in different ways throughout the Bible, but with the Passover, in those instructions in Exodus, first and foremost, he said, this is going to be the beginning of your calendar year. Like, this is how things are going to, from now on, this month will be the first month of the year for you. It's exactly what God said in Exodus chapter 12. So this spoke of new beginnings for the Israelites. They were leaving and going to a new thing. It spoke of new beginnings, but that speaks to us as well, that God has newness for us. God has revelation for us. God has something fresh for us. Each time you partake of communion, or each time you go to him in his word, each time you come and gather together as a church, God has deeper revelation for us. And then the lamb without blemish that they were supposed to prepare, we know that that speaks of Jesus. He's the spotless, sinless Lamb of God. And the blood on the doorpost, so that the angel of death would pass over. They had to put it on the top and on the side. You could imagine that if it, you know, some people say that when it drips, it's dripping down and it's kind of dripping in and down. It forms a cross. But we know that we're saved by his blood. So every home was spared because of that blood, where our life has been saved, redeemed because of Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. But then that lamb, the Bible says, all of it was to be roasted in the fire. That was the preparation. You had to roast all of it in fire. Now, fire is a picture of, or can be a picture of, judgment. It's a picture of judgment. And Jesus took all of God's judgment for us. It's a picture of what Jesus did. He didn't just take our sin. He became sin. He took upon himself every sin. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 5. Every sin, every curse, every judgment, he took upon himself. He came under judgment. Guess what? So you never have to. Took our place so that you don't have to. He was roasted in the fire, meaning he took upon the judgment of God for our salvation and eternal life. But then God gave extra instructions, which kind of makes you like, why, God? Because he said for all of it to be roasted in the fire, but then he says it also shouldn't be eaten raw or boiled with water. It's like, well, no doubt, Sherlock, you just told us to roast it in the fire. Like, what is this about? But what it speaks to us when we apply it to our life, like the story of Jesus is not a fairy tale. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes we look at Jesus and we picture him. He's got the robe on. I think of a blue sash. Maybe you have a purple sash on him. And he's got the Jesus sandals. And, you know, our picture books show us he's hanging out with just a bunch of lambs on a hillside. Like the guy's not a fairy tale. He's not just this little sweet baby that was born in a manger with a couple of random animals around him. He's not just a carpenter. He wasn't just a moral teacher. Jesus is God in flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. It's not a fairy tale. Look what Isaiah says. Isaiah says this, what he did for us, what he did for you. His face was so disfigured, he seemed hardly human. And from his appearance, one would scarcely know he was a man. This is not a fairy tale. Like he was unrecognizable. What he did for us on that cross, taking on sin and sickness so we don't have to live like that. He was not recognizable. Like literally, if we were to have seen him, like I don't think we would be able to look. Just like if you watch The Passion of the Christ, it's like it's hard to look. And that doesn't even give us a glimpse of really what he went through for us. So the lamb not to be eaten raw or boiled with water, I believe God is speaking for us not to water down what he did. So often we come to church and I did my thing. I came to church and then I'm going to go home and watch the Buffalo Bills lose during football season. Or you asked about baseball teams, it's the Baltimore Orioles. They're awful, okay? Like, I get it. They're so bad. We don't go home and watch them. But we water down. I take communion. In my church, we do it once a month. And so often you take communion, like, we do it. Why do we do it? We just do it because we're supposed to. And then we go home and do our thing. But not letting our relationship with the Lord become just some religious ritual. Not watering down. The man was unrecognizable what he did so that we don't have to go through that. Not watering it down. Not letting it become this meaningless ritual. He took it all upon himself. He took it all upon himself. The entirety of sin, sickness, shame, all of it. He took it all upon himself so that you could be blessed with every spiritual blessing under heaven. Because when you get Jesus, you get it all, my friend. When you get Jesus, you get all. He took it all upon himself so that you could get it all. Healing, forgiveness, spiritual blessings, all of it. Forget not his benefit towards us. And then lastly, the Passover, they were told to have their belt on, have their sandals on, have their staff ready. You know what God was telling the Israelites that night? Be ready. You eat that meal, that Passover meal, with faith and that deliverance is coming. He's literally telling them, you be ready because something supernatural is going to happen. Eat that meal with faith and expectation. Guess what? When you get Jesus, you get it all. We come to him every time with faith and expectation. You get ready, my friend. When I go to Jesus, he is not a God that wants to withhold from you. When I come to him with faith and I come to him with expectation, expecting that miracle, expecting that deliverance, expecting that breakthrough, expecting that healing, expecting that that revelation. This is where our sight is so important in our lives. This is why sight is significant, because the more I see Jesus, the more my faith grows. And as that happens, the more I come with expectation that he's going to do what he said he would do. The more you see Jesus, the more your faith grows. Maybe you remember doing this with your kids, or you do it just as you're driving around, but, you know, you can look up in the sky and, you know, like, you know that cloud game you used to play? Like, oh, I see an elephant there, where somebody else is like, I see Pinocchio, and like, what? Like, we all see something different. Or those stupid, you ever used to have, like, those picture books where you're supposed to see a picture, like it's like this kaleidoscope of colors, and it's supposed to be some picture. I mean, I could never see that stuff. I can never see constellations. People are like, oh, there's the Big Dipper, there's this and that, and I'm just like, where, Lord? Like, I'm an idiot, you know? But the best is when a kid makes a picture for you. So we do not have children, but we have nieces and nephews, and I call myself the fun aunt. And so on Fridays, I take them, and we do fun stuff, and then I send them home after they've been sugared up, and it's a good gig. But they make pictures for us, you know, and I just love it. I love hanging them on my refrigerator and on my walls and in my office. But there are times when they give you a picture, and they're like, this is amazing. This is the best thing I've ever seen. I'm going to frame it. I'm going to show everybody. What is it? You know, like, I have no idea what this is. We have, if you ever to come to my house, I'll show you. Mel has probably seen it. She stayed at my house. Jimmy one time had to draw with my five-year-old nephew, and my nephew made a picture of Jimmy. And let's just say, what is it? Like, I have no idea what that is. But you know what? When it comes to your life, what do you normally see? What do you normally see when you look at yourself? We see oftentimes our shortcomings, our failures. I got crooked teeth. I got my dad's big forehead. Like, we see all of these other things. And we need to realize that the enemy uses the visible. The enemy uses the visible to trap you in fear and discouragement. The enemy will use the visible to keep you bound, to keep you a slave. The enemy will use the visible so focused on those disappointments that you can't see or even grab a hold of the promises of God. The enemy will use the visible to trap you. So focused on your condition, I still got pain here, I still, my circumstance, my marriage, like so focused on your condition and your circumstance that there in your life, there just seems to be no way out. He uses the visible. Let me tell you something, the enemy can attack your circumstances. You know what he cannot attack? He cannot attack. Why did Paul say, I am determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and who? And him crucified. Let's talk about the cross. Let's look at the cross. I want to know nothing but that. The cross is everlasting proof of God's love for you. Nothing can separate you from his love. It shows the great lengths that he went to for you. For you. And so our eyes, the Bible says, our eyes have an assignment. Looking unto Jesus. In John chapter 6, it says, everyone who looks on the Son. Everyone who looks on the Son, what do? We look to Jesus. We look to the cross that he's not on anymore because what he did has already been accomplished. It's been finished. I joke around with my husband a lot because if we go out to eat or something, like the guy, well, this is Jimmy eating. You ever eat with somebody like this, like just looks down the whole time? And so, you know, it's like, just like, and I'll be sitting across the table, you know, it's just the two of us. It's like, hello, I'm right here. Over here, Jimmy, look at me. You know, and he's eating his food just like, I mean, completely like, look up, man. I'm right here. Look at me. But it's the same with our eyes. Look up. Your eyes have an assignment. And God wants to open your eyes. God wants to open our eyes to greater revelation. 1 Corinthians says that we don't reduce Christ to what we are. You know what he does? He raises us up to who he is. He raises us up. We are not reduced, or we don't reduce him. He raises us up. And so we've got to start seeing things the way he sees things. When God looks at you, he doesn't see you in your faults and weaknesses. The Bible says your life is hidden. When you give your life to Jesus, your life is hidden in Jesus. So when God looks at you, you know who he sees? He sees his son, Jesus. Your life is hidden in Jesus. And so because we are in Christ, we are accepted by the beloved. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing. And the Bible even says, as Jesus is, 1 John, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Like, that is my confession all the time. When I'm having pain or a hard time, I'm like, as Jesus is, so am I here today. Jesus is not in pain. I thank you, Jesus, that is my portion and my inheritance today, right now. As he is, so are we. And so even when it comes to our bodies, you might be dealing with something, but God doesn't see you as falling apart. He sees you as whole because it's like, this is exactly why I sent my son. I sent him for this, for you to walk in that here today. And so the enemy will use the visible to trap us, to get us discouraged, to get us afraid, to get us stressed. But God says, see beyond. See beyond. See differently. Look up. And that's the power of communion. It's based on faith and a finished work. It's already been done. Our eyes have an assignment, looking unto Jesus, seeing through eyes of faith, seeing what he already did. And the more we see him, the more our faith grows. And so the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Not forgetting means something. It means we remember, right? Not forgetting is remembering. And when it comes to, what did Jesus say when we take communion? He says, do this in remembrance of me. That word literally means reenact. Reenact it. See it. Go through the event again. See it. See what he did. See his body. All that he endured for us. See that blood. Reenact our eyes, looking to Jesus, seeing him and seeing him on the cross and seeing how powerful it is, because the cross transcends time. It wasn't just done 2,000 years ago. The power of the cross transcends time and what he did. I want to know nothing but Jesus and him crucified, who he is and what he did. That is the power of God. And so Jesus said to take communion in remembrance of him, not in remembrance of my condition, not in remembrance of my struggles right now, not in remembrance of my fears and what I'm dealing with, not in remembrance of the pain I have here, there, or wherever, in remembrance of him, focused on him. The power of communion is based on faith in his finished work. It has been done, accomplished. And so we just receive from him and we thank him for it. And the more we see him, the more my faith grows, and the more I see him and the more my faith grows, the more my expectation that I come to him saying, just like the Israelites, Lord, you did it for them, you can do it for us. It's his gift. You know, yesterday, Mel, I want some of Mel's friends because she got some good gifts. So when I turn 40, I'm inviting all of her friends to my party because we got to watch her open gifts and it was a lot of fun. But God has a gift for each and every one of us called divine health. Supernatural health, and not based on our diets, not based on our protein eating, and simply based on the work of the cross that transcends time. Because really, honestly, if your health, if healing was based on what I do, my efforts, my discipline, my going to the gym, my not going to the gym, my eating salads, my not, it was based on me, we'd be saying the cross was useless. We'd be saying that what Jesus did was in vain. But because of what he did, the Bible says we can boldly approach the throne of grace, meaning we can come to him with expectation. We can come to him with expectation. We can come to him believing for the supernatural, supernatural favor, supernatural provision, supernatural healing, just like the children of Israel. When they walked out, those who were sick came out healed. Those who were weak came out strong. We can experience the same in Jesus. As we look to him and receive for him, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forgives all your iniquities. Heals all your diseases. It's kind of mind-blowing, if you ask me. Like God, supernatural health for us. Sickness, pain, inflammation, supernaturally reversed, supernaturally driven out, supernaturally removed. This is the expectation that he wants to build in his people. He wants to build it in us. Look to him. And so taking communion for me has been, I take it now, you know, somebody says that it's like God's delivery system. It's a supernatural channel for his health and wholeness to flow in us. So I'm not saying that I take it and immediately, maybe you will be, because actually, my mother-in-law, she started taking communion with some expectation. She was told her heart was at 20%, back in November, maybe, even earlier. So her and her husband started, my father-in-law, started taking communion. Just every day, like, just thanking the Lord. Like, you just thanking you, Jesus. Just looking to you for my healing and for some breakthrough in this area. Called me 2 weeks ago. She has done nothing different, but went to the doctor to get some steps of what we need to do to get the heart back to functioning. Her heart is 100% totally fine. Totally fine. Like, haven't done a thing besides just saying, Jesus, I'm looking to you with some expectation here. And so I started taking communion just to say, Jesus, I'm looking to you, whether it's healing, whether it's revelation, I just want to be reminded of what you did for today. As I go about my day, I'm being reminded so I forget not all your benefits. It's a tangible act that reminds us it's already been accomplished. It's already been accomplished. It's why I can look to him with expectation. It's already been accomplished. Faith is nothing more than looking to Jesus. He makes it so simple. I think we complicate things. Let's be honest, right? We complicate things. And the beauty is we don't have to beg him. We don't have to persuade him. We don't have to try and, Jesus, do this for me. I just go to him with faith and expectation because it's already been done. It's already been done. It's his will for you. Health, healing, wholeness, because it's what he died for. It's been done. And so this morning, we're going to take communion. I don't know how often you take it here. It doesn't matter. We're going to take it just asking God for a greater revelation today as we take it. We're not taking it as a religious ritual or a thing to do in church world. We're taking it just looking to him that Jesus, today as we remember you, receiving your health, we're receiving your wholeness, we're receiving your redemption, we're receiving who you are. As I take it today, Lord, I'm seeing myself, I'm seeing my circumstances, how you see things. I have victory in Jesus' name. I'm seeing it how he sees it. We're receiving from him today. So I'm going to ask Pastor Bob to come up and to lead us in communion this morning. And we're just, again, faith and expectation. It's all ready, been done. He has something fresh for you. He has deeper revelation for you today as we simply look to him and receive the very life that he gave for us.